there's a new standard, or at least maybe it's not a new standard, but at least I wrote it down. The quote is, companies should not, quote, actively capitalize on data privacy laws to shield misconduct. What's that mean to you? Does it impact your thinking when it comes to getting and preserving documents from overseas?
Yeah, I wrote that down too. And I'm not sure exactly what it means, but here's what we know. This piece of the guidance that speaks about the importance of working with blocking statutes, data privacy laws, it's not new. The FCPA guidance as it now exists, the export sanctions guidance as it has existed, both of them for some time, have already required corporations to establish that there is indeed a prohibition in foreign law against the transfer of information and required them to identify workarounds where they could. So that's not new. That language is new. But I really take it to be an echo of then-Assistant Attorney General Caldwell's comments back in 2016, where she said, we expect honesty, we don't expect obstructionism when we hear our corporations tell us that there are blocking statutes. So the advice that I give to clients and that I would give is, know the law. Identify what exactly those restrictions are. Make sure you're right about it. Convey those to the department. And presumably that fits within what the department is looking for. It's the antithesis of actively obstructing or actively capitalizing on laws.
And I would say I fully agree, Gail, that it's not new to the FCPA unit, and it's not new to the criminal division because the corporate enforcement policy applies across the criminal division, and you pointed out also certain national security guidance. But again, what is new is that this is now uniform across the department, regardless of the component involved in the investigation. It's the same guidance for cooperation.
Right.
Alicia, last question on cooperation. Clients are smart. They're getting smarter. Information about cooperation and points is getting more available. The Sentencing Commission came out with a study last month that purported to go through the 30 years of corporate prosecutions and try to put some data around how often certain things happen. And one of the data points that came out was that maybe cooperation credit was not historically as available as our own experiences or we in the defense bar might like to see. When a client comes to you and they say, I know what you're advising me, I know you're saying that we should cooperate here, but I've done my own research, I've got these studies, what does that conversation with the client sound like to you?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you know, the more, you know, look, I mean, there are statistics, and every case obviously has to be judged on its facts and circumstances, but the reality is that, you know, cooperation, both in the individual context and even in the corporate context, is usually, you know, beneficial under many circumstances and will result in far fewer sanctions and far lower fines. And so, you know, just trying to convey that to the client, making it clear. I think this memo, you know, kind of also, again, helps with that by setting some very clear guidance about what clients can expect to get. And I'm familiar with the Sentencing Commission study, I guess, you know, that, yes, that's true. I mean, here we're talking about, you know, potentially coming in earlier and hopefully avoiding, either maybe even avoiding being charged or certainly avoiding a guilty plea, sort of all sort of separate and apart from what ultimately, you know, a sentence might look like against the corporation. So I think the reality is that this guidance helps that conversation, and you know, you just try to, you know, explain that the statistics don't always really show what the likely beneficial effect would be.
And the Sentencing Commission is a limited data set, an important data set, no doubt, but a limited data set because, of course, it's based upon sentencing information. So in many resolutions, you know, non-prosecution agreements, deferred prosecution agreements, there's not necessarily going to be a corporate sentencing like you would have for a guilty plea or following a trial.
Yeah, I think it's important because that study did not include NPAs, DPAs, declinations, any other alternative resolutions short of a charging instrument. And so I do think that the statistics, you got to look at them with a bit of a jaundiced eye. History of corporate misconduct. We heard Assistant Attorney General Polite talk a little bit about that. Lisa, do you want to just take a minute, maybe give us a high-level view of what's new, what's the same, what's been reinforced?
Sure, and I'll now begin a short soliloquy about the new guidance, because there are a number of factors. But I do think it's really important, and I want to echo some of the significant things in the new guidance, because it's our hope that this will be very, very helpful in clarifying how we're going to analyze a corporation's history of misconduct. But in general, prosecutors weighing these factors, according to our guidance, should assign the greatest significance to recent U.S. criminal resolutions and to prior misconduct involving the same personnel or occurring under the same direct management. Dated conduct addressed by prior criminal resolutions entered into more than 10 years before the conduct under investigation, or civil or regulatory resolutions that are more than 5 years before the conduct under investigation, generally under the guidance, should be accorded less weight, because it might be generally less reflective of the current environment in the corporation or the environment in the corporation at the time of the misconduct under investigation. There are a number of other factors in the memo that prosecutors are going to be directed to consider. One is the seriousness and pervasiveness of the misconduct underlying each prior resolution. Two, whether the prior misconduct was similar in nature to the conduct under investigation, even if it was prosecuted under different statutes. Three, whether at the time of the misconduct under review, the corporation was serving a term of probation or was subject to supervision, monitorship, or any other obligation imposed prior by the resolution.